much is that doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale.
Hello. This is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. This opening tune, Patti Page's How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, sets the tone for the theme of today's special program, Music for Pets, especially dogs. It became clear in conversations with neighbors, friends, and family over the holidays that our canine companions are as connected to us as our other family members. The McClure's Sheltie named Gracie, the Martin's doggy Sydney, Jane and Doug's Russell, and Lee Pittman's touching tale of puppy love that she recently shared with the Apex Readers Theater represents some of the evidence of this connection. Today's music review program, therefore, will be interspersed with pet-related music in our regular coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions.
Doggy in the window. The one with the waggly tail.
Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website songfacts.com. Speaking of puppy love, question number one. Paul Anka had a number two hit song in 1960 called Puppy Love. For whom was that song written? Was it A, for a pet dog he had received as a Christmas present? Was it B, for Annette Funicello, a popular musketeer on Disney's Mickey Mouse Club? Was it C, for a high school teacher he once had a crush on? Or was it D, on behalf of his young nephew's girlfriend? Puppy Love, 1960. Question number two, what was the name of the nursery rhyme that involves spelling a dog's name with each chorus then follows with a replacing a letter of the dog's name with a hand clap that is repeated until all five letters of the dog's name are claps? Hint, the first line of the song is, there was a farmer who had a dog and blank was his name-o. So what is that dog's name and the name of this song? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January 17th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1934 that Lawrence Hammond filed for a patent for the pipeless organ with a tone wheel generator. The patent was granted on April 24, 1934. And it was 76 years ago today, 1944, that the very first jazz concert was held at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. The performers were Louis Armstrong, Benny Goodman, Lionel Hampton, Artie Shaw, Roy Eldridge, and Jack Teagarden. 1944, today. So we begin today's special program with an edited article titled 29 Dog Songs, Love, Loss, and Appreciation in Songs About Dogs. This is written by John Ryson, published on February the 16th, 2018, in AKC.org. Shakespeare said, if music be the food of love, play on. He probably wasn't thinking about dogs when he wrote that line, and yet countless songs celebrate the love and even the heartbreak of living with a dog. Here are 29 songs about our canine BFFs, including some tunes you probably didn't know were written about a dog. We start with I Love My Dog by Cat Stevens. This is a pretty straightforward love song to his dog, whose love is something he can count on. He says, I love my dog as much as I love you, but you may fade, my dog will always come through. Then there's The Puppy Song by Harry Nilsson. Nilsson wrote plenty of whimsical songs, but nothing quite as wistful as this one. He sings that having a dog would be the key to happiness. And then there's Old King by Neil Young. Young wrote this song about his traveling buddy, a hound named Elvis, who went out on the road with him for many years.
The way, we know the way, we've seen the way, we'll show the way to get you back home to the peace where you belong. If you're lost and think you can't be found, we know the way, we've got the way, we'll lead the way to get you back home to the peace where you belong.
Neil Young's The Way introduces this background article to the song Old King, recorded in 1992 on the Harvest Moon album and published in thrasherswheat.org, Greek Theater, L.A., 9/22/92, where Neil Young told the audience, this is a song about my dog. His name is Elvis. He traveled with me for many years. Well, I changed his name to King in the song to avoid any confusion. Elvis had quite a nose. That was his whole thing, was his nose. But you know, he was very, very sensitive about it. I'll tell you a little story about him. He used to go on the road with me all the time, and you know, he kind of smelled like a hound because, well, he was a hound. But it smelled good to him. Well, one morning he woke me up. It was about 6 a.m. I get this nose, you know, sniff, 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 sniff. I'm going, what's happening? It's this big nose. It's looking at me kind of, you know, desperate, you know. I said, God, you smell terrible. And he knew he stunk. He wanted off the bus. He said, I want to go roll in some cow piles. And so I said, okay, Elvis, take a shot. He took off. I let him go. And there's only one thing that can go wrong if you do that. That's if it rains, then he can't find his way back because he can't smell over the wet, you know. He just loses it. So he lost it. He got lost. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we're still waiting for him to come back. We got to go to a gig pretty soon, so we're going to be late. I can't leave him behind. What can I do? So I went out hunting for him, but I couldn't find him. So I get back on the bus to take off, and as I'm leaving, this guy in a pickup truck pulls up and says, hey, Neil, what are you doing? Well, so I told him, and then he said, well, that's okay, Neil. I'll go get my wife, and we'll wait right here until he comes back, and then we'll bring him to you in Eureka. I said, wow, what a great guy. So I took off, and just as I was going on to my next gig in Eureka, he called me and said, they found him. Here's part of the lyrics to that song. I had a dog and his name was King. I told the dog about everything. There in my truck, the dog and I. Then one day, the King up and died. King went a-running after deer. Wasn't scared of jumping off the truck in high gear. King went a-sniffing and he would go. Was the best old hound dog I ever did know. That old King was a friend of mine. Never knew a dog that was half as fine. I may find one, you never know. 'Cause they still got a long way to go.
The way, we know the way, we've seen the way, we'll show the way to get you back home to the peace where you belong.
Next song, how about Seamus the Dog? This is by Pink Floyd. Songfacts.com notes that this song was recorded with a dog named Seamus that David Gilmour was watching over. The dog would bark and howl every time he heard music or someone playing a guitar. Seamus sings along to the harmonica and guitar in this 1971 instrumental. Without the lyrics, one could argue that this song isn't really about a dog. That may be, but without a dog singing the chorus, it's just any old blues tune. By the way, the sound is not hurting the dog's ears. If it were, he would run away from it. Research suggests that a dog imitates the music because it's a throwback to the social howling of the dog's ancestor, the wolf. Speaking of which, we should also take a listen to Peter and the Wolf. Peter and the Wolf, Story Summary. This is in publish.uwo.ca. Sergei Prokofiev wrote the story and composed the music for Peter and the Wolf in 1936. It was written in 2 weeks for a children's theater in Moscow. He wrote the music as a child's introduction to the orchestra, with each character being represented by an instrument or group of instruments. Peter and the Wolf was an immediate success and continues to be enjoyed today by children all over the world. The story is about a boy named Peter who lives with his grandfather. Grandfather does not want Peter going out of their garden because there are wolves around. One day, Peter goes out the garden gate and sees a duck swimming in a nearby pond. The duck is arguing with a little bird. Peter sees a cat approaching and warns the little bird, who flies up into a tree. Just then, Peter's grandfather comes outside and scolds Peter for going out of the garden. They go back into the garden and grandfather locks the gate. Soon a wolf does appear from the woods. The cat climbs a tree to escape the wolf, but the duck is swallowed by the hungry wolf. Peter gets a rope and climbs over the garden wall into a tree. The bird distracts the wolf by flying over his head, while Peter lowers a noose and catches the wolf by his tail. Hunters then come out of the woods and fire at the wolf, but Peter stops them. They all bring the wolf to the zoo, and at the end, the duck can be heard quacking in the wolf's stomach. And then there's the song, I'm Gonna Buy Me a Dog. This is by the Monkees. This group was a hit in the 1960s, probably more for their cuteness than their musical abilities. But they had the right idea with this song, a dog as a cure for heartbreak. There seems to be a lot of folk songs and country tunes about dogs, including ones by Elvis and Dolly Parton. But enough about country music. Let's get back to other genres of songs.
I chose you because you're sweet, and you give me lots of loving, and you eat meat, and that's how you became my only man of the
This is Man of the Hour by Nora Jones. Jones sings a romantic ballad indeed, except it's about Nora Jones's poodle, Ralph. Nora Jones, by the way, is the daughter of sitar virtuoso Ravi Shankar.
To be the one who will feed you breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and take you to the park at dawn. Will you really be my only man of the hour?
And how about Me and You and a Dog Named Boo? That's by Lobo. This cute and or annoying song was released in 1971 and made it to number 5 on the Billboard Hot 100. Then there's I'm Gonna Buy Me a Dog to Take the Place of You. That's by Duke Robillard. This blues guitarist and founding member of Roomful of Blues discovered the perfect antidote to heartbreak, a dog. Then there's Planet Dog by Boothby Grafo. And English comedian and singer-songwriter Boothby Grafo asks us to contemplate a world where dogs are in charge with such thought-provoking lines as, on the planet dog, it's the men that stay at home alone and drink the water from the toilets. And, of course, Baha Men's earworm. Who Let the Dogs Out is one we can't forget either, unfortunately. And the Beatles even had one called Hey Bulldog. That was 1969 from their Yellow Submarine album.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
The Beach Boys' God Only Knows, from their album titled Pet Sounds, introduces this next article, which has been edited down. It's entitled Beach Boys Pet Sounds, 15 Things You Didn't Know. Published in RollingStone.com on the 16th of May, 2016, by Jordan Runtag. The story of pet sounds is the story of art versus commerce, youthful optimism versus adult cynicism, and the independent spirit versus the mundane status quo. It's also a story of tremendous courage. In 1966, 23-year-old Brian Wilson hijacked the Beach Boys to give voice to the sounds he heard in his head and the emotions he felt in his heart. The result was an album that had leading musical figures struggling to match his technical innovation, lyrical depth, and melodic genius. Half a century later, it's questionable whether anyone has. On the final seconds of the album, as the flutes from Caroline No fade away, the melodic sounds of a passing train is heard while dogs wail. The barks come from Wilson's own dogs, Banana and Louie. Their barking made for an unusual session. John Lennon and Paul McCartney loved pet sounds. The song, God Only Knows, that's playing in the background now from the album, inspired the Beatles' song, Here, There, and Everywhere. Although McCartney believed that that song was the greatest song ever written, it was the Beatles' 1967 follow-up that truly bore the influence of Brian Wilson. Without Pet Sounds, Sgt. Pepper never would have happened, admitted Beatles producer George Martin. Pepper was an attempt to equal Pet Sounds. Speaking of pet sounds, how about Paul McCartney's Martha, My Dear?
Martha, my dear, though I spend my days in conversation, please remember me. Martha, my love, don't forget me. Martha, my dear.
Turns out it's not about a girlfriend. Martha was Paul McCartney's old English sheepdog and the inspiration for this very song.
Thank you.
And finally, in Dog Music Research and Technology, we have this article entitled, Does Your Pet Like Listening to Music? This is published in avodermnatural.com. You've probably felt the powerful effects of music on your mood many times before, and research backs up the influence it has on our feelings. Turns out that your pet might be feeling those same effects. Can you guess which types of music your dog or cat likes the best? It's probably not Metallica, but it might not even be Mozart. Even if your pet isn't in the habit of nodding along to your favorite song, she is definitely listening. Cats and dogs have hearing that is more sensitive than a human's. They can hear a wider range of frequencies and are better at sensing the direction from which a sound comes. Research shows that dogs also understand pitch, so while she definitely doesn't judge you, your puppy can probably hear those off-key notes in the shower. A dog's howls and a cat's meows are like forms of music that they use for communication, so some of the sounds a singer or instrument make are familiar to them. All of this means that pets hear this music around them very clearly, comparing it to the sounds they're used to and the sounds we consider background noise. Our four-legged companions have their own tastes in music, too. You might think that your cat's musical preferences come from his unique personality, but it actually has more to do with his voice. A recent study found that felines prefer music that is similar in its range and tempo to their own voices. Instruments that mimicked a cat's purring or the tweeting of a bird caused the strongest responses in the cats studied. Dogs, on the other hand, are known to change the pitch of their howl if another dog joins in at the same pitch. Instruments that sound like a dog's howl, clarinets, saxophones, and other reed instruments, are more likely to cause a dog to join in. If your dog starts howling along to John Coltrane, it doesn't necessarily mean he dislikes it. He might just want to answer the call. Researchers studied the effects of different types of music on dogs. They found that pop music caused little reaction, but heavy metal alarmed the canines. Classical music, on the other hand, soothed and quieted them. The key for any type of music is to play it quietly. Even the Moonlight Sonata, played too loudly, will disturb a pet's sensitive hearing. In a separate study that focused on our feline friends, the cats were altogether uninterested in human music. Fortunately, some musicians are working to change this. This research has led some musicians to compose calming music for pets, albums created specifically for cats or dogs. These songs are simple, slow, and just outside the normal range of human music. Studies show that lower frequencies calm a dog's nervous system and that slower tempos lower the heart rates. Cats respond well to harps and higher tempos. Music like this can help to keep a stressed or a nervous pet calm for hours while they're alone. It also acts as a kind of music therapy for animals in kennels. Dogs and cats feel emotions just like humans do, and it's clear that music affects their moods, too. Every pet owner wants their best friend to be comfortable when they're feeling stressed or nervous. The right music might be the perfect way to help. So, how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, Paul Anka had a number two hit in 1960 called Puppy Love. For whom was that song written? Was it A, for a pet dog he had received for a Christmas gift? Was it B, for Annette Funicello, a popular mouseketeer on Disney's Mickey Mouse Club? Was it C, for a high school teacher he once had a crush on? Or was it D, on behalf of his young nephew's girlfriend? Correct answer? Answer B, for Annette Funicello, a popular mouseketeer on Disney's TV show, The Mickey Mouse Club. Songfacts.com notes that Anka's manager insisted that the Anka, Funicello, affair, B, low-key and kept out of the press if possible. Funicello was an actress who, like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and Justin Timberlake, were all very popular members of Disney Mickey Mouse Club. She wasn't allowed to date till she turned 16. She and Anka got together when both were 17. Adults dismissed their affair as puppy love, but to the couple it felt very strong and inspired Anka to write this song. In her autobiography, Funicello wrote, "Just because we were 17 didn't mean that, for us, our love wasn't real. The puppy love didn't last, but Funicello did cut an album of Anka's songs called Annette Sings Anka, which was also released in 1960. In 1992, she announced that she had multiple sclerosis, and when she passed away from the disease in 2013 at age 70, Anka said, "She was kind and intelligent, and she will be missed by her family and her wide circle of friends, in which I was lucky to be included." And the answer to our second question, what was the name of the nursery rhyme that involves spelling a dog's name? And each chorus then follows with replacing a letter of the dog's name with a hand clap that is repeated until all five letters of the dog's name are claps. Hint, the first line of the song is, "There was a farmer who had a dog and blank was his name-o." What was the name of that dog's name and the name of the song? Correct answer? B-I-N-G-O. Bingo was his name-o. Evidently, the earliest reference to any form of that song is the title of a piece of sheet music published in 1780, which attribute the song to William Swords, an actor at Haymarket Theatre of London. Early versions of the song were variously titled "The Farmer's Dog Leapt O'er the Stile" and "A Franklin's Doggie." Well, let's close out with another ditty devoted to a dog, Russell's Rumba, written and performed by Raleigh neighbors Reiner and Sowers. Spencer Scott, in the January 12, 2020 issue of Parade magazine, notes that having a dog boosts your health and lifetime longevity. She published this, titled Live Here and Live to 100. She notes that Charleston, South Carolina, has one of the top places to live and longevity because 7 out of every 10 households has a dog, which boosts heart health due to lower stress and by providing residents a reason to get up in the morning. Charlestonians walk them in the parks, trails, and on 7 dog-friendly beaches. Out of time for today's episode of Music Review, and as we leave you, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. So if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.